You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS. Welcome back to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm Tariq, and I'm with the inimitable Adele Dazeem. Do you remember that?
No.
Remember I showed you the video? Idina Menzel, John Travolta called it.
Yes.
The absolutely wonderful, incredibly, I don't know what he says, talented Adele Dazeem.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
So thank you for being with me today, Adele. And yeah, I don't know. Do you have any more apps to talk about?
I think, so just maybe you should enlighten the listeners as to what you're talking about, just in case they don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, for the last three episodes, Hannah and I have just been, you know, we've been doing some app recommendations.
Wait, sorry, what are we talking about?
Oh, come on. Do you think people don't know about that?
I didn't when you first told me.
Okay, we're the quote, okay, I'm using air quotes, we're the same age, but there are such, like, you are TikTok generation, and somehow
I'm Gen Z.
But we're in the same. Okay,
I'm not Gen Z, by the way, for everyone listening. Just
100 years ago during the Oscars, John Travolta was presenting a category or something, and he was calling up Idina Menzel. She at the time I think was the star of Wicked. Is she still doing that role on Broadway? He was introducing her, and he goes, and the wickedly talented, wonderfully amazing, and her name's Idina Menzel, but he goes, Adele Dazeem. And he definitely doesn't stutter, but he definitely is shaking a little bit when he says it. Like, he says, like, Adele Dazeem.
Yeah. So, oh, my gosh.
He knew it was wrong as it was coming out. Can you? That's so different than her name. It's not even close.
It's not even close. I don't know. He must have been nervous, or I don't know, but yeah.
Definitely. Talk about somebody who, he's been through a journey. Like, he looks so different now than he did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely got he's got the bald head now. You know, he's rocking the bald head.
Yep.
He's got scruff. It's a very different John Travolta.
Is it good or bad? Just different.
I don't know. It's different, I guess.
Okay, just different. Okay, no. we'll go with that. No offense. All right. Anyways, now
you can tell me about apps.
Okay, well, I'm trying to think of an app. But I don't. Okay, you know what's funny? When I went on your phone, like, when we were in PEI, you have so many apps on your phone. Like, I could just scroll, like, you know, on the home screen, I have, like, two different pages of my home screen with, like, apps and stuff on them. You have, like, eight.
Well, I have to tell you, I put them all on one screen. I only have one screen now.
Oh, wow.
But it has all these folders.
Yeah, you really organized.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Sorry, everyone. You can't see that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, shit. You're right. This is a podcast.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get to our episode. So, Hannah, actually, I'm very excited to have this conversation with you because I think it'll be fun, exciting news. Not news, but fun, exciting information for some people.
I think so, too. I'm excited to chat about this. This is, like, a common misconception, I guess, that we're going to kind of, I guess, debunk. Maybe.
Yes.
We'll see. I don't know.
Who knows what I'm going to say? Who knows what I'm going to say? Who knows?
All right.
So this information in part comes from an article in The Atlantic who have received a pitch from me and have not responded. Anyway. by Alex Mayassi. Our conversation starts in 1852. Close your eyes, think back to when we were all there. TikTok had just come out. So in Michigan, one John Harvey Kellogg was born. Okay?
Oh.
John Harvey Kellogg, he was a physician. Kellogg. He was a
man.
Yeah, he was a self-proclaimed, you know, health food aficionado.
Self-proclaimed, we love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the nutrition science was very nascent back then.
Yes.
You know. But, you know, he was you know, obviously the name points to the fact that he had something to do with the development of dry breakfast cereal.
Yes, it does.
He was one of the first to market cornflakes as a breakfast food, if not the first.
So was he the one that marketed cornflakes as... Are we going to get into this?
Are you trying to bait me?
I don't...
To say it? It's coming up in my third next point.
I hope we're talking about the same thing. Keep going. We are. Okay.
So he was also did some other things, including co-founding something called the Race Betterment Foundation, which promoted eugenics and racial segregation. So just
great.
To set the stage.
We love him.
Absolute racist dirtbag. Yeah.
Okay.
So him, his brother, who's actually, his brother's actually the more famous Kellogg because he's the one that's responsible for Kellogg's, which, you know, now makes cereals like Frosted Flakes and so on.
Sure.
One of his patients would also go on to create their own dry cereal company, you know, Post, Grape Nuts, Oreo O's, yes. etc. They all kind of contribute, so all at the same time in Michigan, all kind of contributed to the rise of dry cereal as a breakfast food, which led to some pretty intense marketing campaigns. Yeah. So remember, I don't have to say it, almonds. Almonds.
Oh, yeah, I remember almonds.
Okay.
Thank you for
reminding
me.
This is another heavy marketing campaign. Food. So this is actually where the phrase, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, comes from. Was from these marketing campaigns for these breakfast cereals. So in 1944, there was a marketing campaign from General Foods, which it was like General Foods slash Post, and it was to sell Grape Nuts. This was part of like an onslaught of ads, and the campaign was "Eat a good breakfast, do a better job." They were not just having ads like radio ads and so on, but they were also like grocery store employees were handing out pamphlets about things about nutrition and saying things like nutrition experts say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Who are these nutrition experts? People who owned the cereal companies like Kellogg. Yeah.
Yes.
So nutrition was obviously a growing but a young field, like I was saying, and some of those experts like Kellogg had obvious conflicts of interest. So we're already seeing the veil kind of peel away behind this whole announcement that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So John Harvey Kellogg was not only a racist, but he was also very religious. And his belief was that, I've heard this before actually, was that cereal would not just improve your health, okay, but because it was a very plain meal with very little to it. And this was at the time before fortification. You know where this is going. I think some people will have heard this before. It would keep people's libidos down and cut down on masturbation.
Yeah.
Which he saw as a very, very sinful activity.
Yes.
He was also a vegetarian and promoted the idea that reducing or eliminating meat from your diet would also help cut down on sexual desire. Oh, he was really obsessed on cutting down people's libidos. So, relating this back to breakfast again. So, breakfast might have a surprising history for some people as a concept. So, people didn't always necessarily eat, you know, 3 square meals a day. Some people now don't eat 3 square meals a day and they're perfectly fine. So, you know, there's lots of different eating behaviors out there, and lots of different eating behaviors existed before breakfast became like an iconic part of our food culture, right? So historically, like, people would graze throughout the day. Like, I can't imagine cave people like sitting down. Okay, it's 8 o'clock, like, it's ready, you know? Yeah, what I mean, like,
time,
whatever,
for breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I graze throughout the day, or some people would just eat one meal a day. You know, some people do this now, whatever works for you. Historically, though, breakfast became a routine. You can imagine this once people, you know, there was increased movement to urban centers.
Yeah.
And people had set schedules due to jobs, you know, industrialization. And breakfast in and before the mid-1800s was really the same as lunch or dinner, you know, before this whole cereal thing started. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, do you have any guesses like what common breakfasts were back then in the 1800s? Whatever you say will be right.
What?
Because it was really anything. I mean, like, it was just like any other meal.
Yeah, whatever you had or whatever.
Exactly.
Well, like, I'm just thinking back.
No. Sorry, I'm laughing because Hannah made the best face just now. Like, whatever you've had, like, I don't know.
My thought was, like, back then, it's like, you know, you're producing a lot of your own food.
Definitely.
So it's kind of whatever was in season, whatever you...
Whatever
you had then to prepare.
I mean, people were, like, sure, like, people were eating eggs and so on, but they were also eating chicken, they were eating steak, you know? Some people would have a beer for breakfast.
Okay.
Whatever you've got leftovers, you know, cheese and bread, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But American culture, something about American culture and capitalism and selling food always seems to pivot food to a more decadent place.
Mm.
So as breakfast was becoming more popular, people were selling or marketing more like meat, cake, pie. Of course, I mean, there's of course nothing wrong with this, like whatever you want to eat for breakfast.
Yeah.
But then this kind of spiraled to the point where apparently there was this like mass public problem of indigestion and other indicators of related poor nutritional health. So this was publicized in magazines, in newspapers, that people were chronically experiencing indigestion. So this was kind of the entry point. So dry cereal kind of introduced the idea that cereal could be a unique meal.
Right.
Which has now evolved into a meal that could be on the go, that could also help, as you know, Kellogg would harp on, would help with indigestion. I mean, in part, sure, like its bulk, you know, like its cereal fiber.
Sure, yeah.
That would help. So this was kind of like, this would help catapult cereal into the forefront. You know, it would kind of help their whole messaging, because apparently all of America was constipated because they were eating so many decadent things for breakfast, allegedly.
Okay. Allegedly.
So, I mean, this was also, like, a lot was happening at this time. So, like, not only did breakfast become a unique meal, but now all of a sudden cereal became unique to breakfast, which had never happened before. So, so this, in part, what was helping this was, like, you needed a meal that could be had on the go, because we were talking about, you know, these people are moving to urban centers, they have a set schedule, they need to be at work by a certain time.
Yeah.
So, you know, think of now, you know, we have smoothies so on the go that the container is a blender. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
You know, or cereal bars, you know, we do this now. You know, food that's to be had on the move. We're obsessed with that.
Yeah.
So this would come in at a time cereal would come in at a time when, you know, a simpler and more, like, honestly, like, more meager breakfast was desired by the masses.
Yeah.
So meat and spices kind of turned into a cultural enemy. And at the time, cereals were non-sugary. Like, there was no complication of cereal being maybe, like, tipping too far over the edge into, like, becoming a dessert again.
Right.
At the time, it was, like, this new health food to combat the craze of the problem of people having indigestion, apparently. That was plastered all over magazines.
Interesting.
In fact, the cereals were so non-sugary and so non-decadent
that some of them were
nicknamed wheat rocks or horse food. Like, they were just like, it was literally just right. like a bunch of grain.
Yeah.
So John Harvey Kellogg,
I have a question.
Yeah, please.
So you're mentioning that back then cereal wasn't like, you know, the what's the word I'm looking for, like
The Cinnamon Toast Crunch of today.
Yeah, exactly. The Fruit Loops, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, all of those. It wasn't super fun, flavorful. All these different types. It was
there was like nothing at it. It was literally just the cereal.
Yeah. Was it? Did they eat it with milk?
They did, and it was one of those things where, like, they would almost make fun of the food because it was like, I can't eat this without milk. You know what I mean? Because it was so rough and tough. Roaring. You literally, you had to. Like, there was almost no other way.
Cool.
So John Harvey Kellogg was one of those people who thought people's diets were unnatural. So he was one of those people that thought that we should be eating more, quote unquote, biologically.
He was a natural food advocate.
Yes, queen. He was one of the, like, he would maybe be a, and, you know, I love you. You eat paleo. You're my friend. I don't care. That's great. He was one of those people that maybe would be on the extreme side of paleo and say, like, we need to be eating this way because this is what we're naturally supposed to be.
He would be the face of naturalnews.com.
Absolutely. He would be the face. He's, God, I never want to see his face ever again. So one thing we do know and that we've talked about before is that our current North American culture, which has obviously been informed by advertisers for centuries, we know now, is that people who eat breakfast are potentially less likely to be malnourished.
Okay.
Because, quote unquote, skipping meals might contribute to the chance that maybe your daily intake of certain nutrients is not met.
Yeah.
But, of course, some people might not eat breakfast and they'll still be perfectly healthy.
Yeah,
so
totally.
This comes back to, you know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I've definitely heard that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And to hear and to now know that it comes from a marketing campaign, A, I'm not surprised because almonds. And B, obviously, there's a bunch of mythology to it. And it comes from somebody who had their own ideas about what health was and pushed those onto the masses.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, it's so interesting. And it's funny because, like, similar to the almonds, it's interesting how, like, a marketing campaign so long ago, influence our decision making or our perception of certain foods or certain meals or whatever to still today. I think that's
absolutely
so interesting. And yeah, from, like, a dietitian standpoint, I think that why would breakfast be the most important meal of the day compared to lunch or to dinner? I think what's most important is that you're meeting your nutrition needs. And, I think that in terms of the research, it's conflicting, around breakfast. You know, some studies show that people who eat breakfast, or have shown in the past, from what I understand, you know, there's outcomes related, you know, like weight related outcomes mm-hmm. and things like that. And in kids, there's like performance related outcomes in terms of like schooling and things like that. But then there's also studies that have shown that it makes no difference. Like breakfast yes. eating makes no difference. So it's really conflicting. And I mean, in my opinion, I think that no, like if you're not hungry, like in the morning, if you like, there's people who wake up in the morning and feel like no desire to eat whatsoever. Right. Like they feel like the thought of eating food makes them feel nauseous. Like they just can't stomach something. And like, so why would you force yourself to eat something if you feel like that? So in cases like that, I don't think breakfast eating is necessary. I think that where I do feel like we might run into trouble is like, if someone is like hungry for food in the morning, but they don't have time for breakfast, you know, they say I didn't eat because I was in a rush or because I didn't have time. And then they don't have time until hours later or, and that's where we can run into some trouble. Like I find with like focus and concentration and how hungry you feel for the rest of the day. And in terms of your appetite regulation for the remainder of the day, things like that. But no, I don't think like if someone were to ask me, do you think everyone should eat breakfast? Or like, do you think breakfast is the most important meal of the day? No.
You know, I think that's so powerful. Like what you said basically is like the right answer is whatever the right answer is for you.
Yeah. It's really about your body and your cues and how you feel, at breakfast time or in the morning. Yeah. I also think it's really interesting, about the, like, foods being designated for breakfast.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's interesting that that wasn't...
It's just marketing.
Yeah, that happened because of marketing.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of funny that there's marketing campaigns for certain foods that have, you know, for however long been known as breakfast foods, like eggs, for example.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
Like, all the marketing around eggs is, like... eggs can be enjoyed anytime. And I'm sure back in the 1850s, eggs were enjoyed anytime, like before all of this happened. And then along the way, eggs became one of those breakfast foods. And now we're like trying to reverse it and say like, actually eggs can be enjoyed anytime. Like I'm sure they probably enjoyed them back in 1852 or whatever it was.
Yeah. I mean, there's this part of it where, yes, the culture was moving toward benefiting from a prepared food because of time. Like all of a sudden we had more time crunches than before.
Yes.
But it definitely like part of it was definitely advertising, and like you can't discount the effect of advertising on that, and it's definitely lasted, like you've said. I mean, it's an interesting point how you mentioned like hundreds of years ago, and it's still affecting us now, or like 100 years ago plus, and it's still affecting us now. But it makes me think of all the words that, you know, like how Shakespeare invented a bunch of words that we use now, like, and they just like weren't used before. Like I just was looking them up, and he used the word, like for the first time, he used the word, even like skim milk, he made that. The word uncomfortable, the word unreal. The word lonely.
No way.
Critic, bandit, green-eyed to describe jealousy. There's a lot more. But if something catches on and there's enough media behind it, even in the medieval times, it can definitely find its way to us now.
That's very interesting. I think it's also interesting. So on the topic of like certain foods at certain times of the day, what's interesting to me is that because for so long we've been so used to certain foods at certain times of the day, that's what we tend to crave or want as well. I think that's very interesting.
Like you started as a kid having cereal.
Yeah, or certain, you started having cereal or toast or eggs or pancakes or oatmeal or whatever at breakfast
and
time.
And the marketing.
Yeah. Oh, and
Tony
marketing.
The Tiger. Like that. Yeah. That's, they, the marketing for Tony the Tiger nets them like so many more millions of
right
like consumers a year.
Right.
And the like purchasing that shelf space so kids can see it. I mean,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's just interesting that all of that actually also leads you to like crave those foods.
Definitely.
In the morning time and not other foods. Like,
yeah.
For me personally, anyways, in the morning, like, I'm never like, I could really go for a bowl of spaghetti right now.
Yeah.
Although, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I think that if you do want spaghetti for breakfast, you should have spaghetti for breakfast. Yeah. There's no rules, really, that you can. I think what's important is that you're just having nourishing, balanced meals most of the time. But yeah, it's just interesting that, like, you rarely wake up and go, I want tacos for breakfast.
Right. Or breakfast has to be this thing.
Yeah. That, like this like category of foods.
This category of foods, exactly. Yeah.
It's very interesting. And
you can even, like, the lines get more blurred between lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
There like is a line there, but it's definitely way more blurred than the line for breakfast.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Interesting. Well, that's very interesting. Sorry, I'm just like wrapping up here, but
you no,
very
please.
Well have more to talk about.
Wrap away, but I would love for you to ask me what I found tasty this week.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to know what's been tasty for you this week.
Well, thank you. What's been tasty for me this week is the $3.97 watermelon. And watermelons have not been this cheap in a very long time, and I'm living my life. And I don't know if watermelons add or subtract minutes of life, but this watermelon is giving me emotional life. So I'm enjoying it.
I love that.
Thank you.
Emotional life. I love it. I haven't had watermelon, I can't remember, like, recently. I had some,
well,
I feel like...
Well, because they're, $50.
So expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. That is why. Yeah. It's not something I tend to buy at the store, because it's usually, like, I usually, yeah, look for, like,
yeah,
budget-friendly fruit.
Yeah, but, totally.
Did you ask me what's been tasty?
No, what's been tasty for you?
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, what's been tasty for me this week? It's a not a food, so I'm not eating this. But it's an object that has been just like setting my mood, setting the vibe for my days. I have been so obsessed. Recently, I have this thing where I get like obsessed with something and I use it every day or have it every day or whatever, and then I get tired of it.
Okay.
But I'm just so obsessed with candles right now.
Oh. If I could only tell you. Thomas and I spent what some would call 3 years at a Winners the other day smelling every single candle.
I love that. Like, why do candles give me life?
Yeah,
they
definitely
add healthy years to my life.
Absolutely.
Why do candles make, like, why do they just make your day so much more enjoyable?
Why are they $300 for one candle?
I know. I bought a $40 candle the other day.
My God. We found this $25 candle that we loved, and I looked at Thomas and was like, we can't buy this. No. You tell me you bought a $40 candle?
I was at...
That candle better be taller than me.
I was at a winery.
Okay,
and
so you were... under the influence.
That's not where I was going with that, but yes, you are probably correct.
You were making sane decisions. Yeah.
And okay, the candle though,
that's the only place you can find a $40 candle is at a winery, because they're like, no one will buy this unless they've had a drink.
The candle is called Pinot Noir.
Okay.
And it's
who's
in
it by?
So I was at Lightfoot and Wolfville.
Is it their own proprietary candle?
Yeah, they make
candle?
Their own candles.
Wow.
They make them in like the bottoms of wine bottles.
Oh, give over. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so very anyways, cool. It's a really nice
so it's
bottle,
not that big.
Is what no, you're it's like about. It's actually pretty big. It's a pretty big candle. It's not okay. Thick, like it's not fat, but it's pretty tall.
But wine bottle. I guess a larger wine bottle, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, it's
not
very...
not like a $7 bodacious.
No.
Shout out to 10 years ago or 8 years ago.
But it's very You know what? It's aesthetically pleasing.
I'm sure it is.
It looks very nice in my house. It smells wonderful.
Will you send me a picture later?
I will send you a picture. But anyways, aside from my $40 candle, I have a bunch of other candles I've been lighting every morning when I sit down to do my work. And I'm just like obsessed with lighting a candle and putting on some really like calming, relaxing music and just like sitting at my desk and working. Like, it just makes my day so much better. So if you're, you know, this transition from summer to colder, darker weather is getting to you a little bit, which it always does to me. Get a candle. Doesn't have to be a $40 candle. Get a candle. Get a lighter. Light your candle.
Yeah.
Smell that candle. Let it just... just be absorbed by the candle.
Yeah.
Let it really relax you and enjoy it. I love candles.
I love that tasty, and I want Sand and Fog to sponsor us.
Okay.
Because
I don't know. Is that a candle company?
Yes.
Okay.
And our thoughts and prayers for this week are, you go on to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, go to Spotify, go to everywhere else, send this to your friend, DM us, say hi on social media, follow us, and we hope you enjoyed. We really do. And yeah, that's all I have to say.
We are manifesting a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. After this episode goes live, I'm going to go look.
How long are you giving them to post?
I'm giving you 24 hours after this episode goes live to go and leave me a review. And we'll shout you out. I'm going to shout you out. Maybe we'll get you a gift.
I'm going to shout at you.
I'm manifesting it. A review. 5-star rating and review.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
We love you, and we need to work on these exits.
No, I like it. It's real.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
I'm going to manifest that we don't need to work on them.
Okay. We will talk to you guys next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.